This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. Economists love their models, mathematical abstractions of reality that they use to figure out things like optimal rates of inflation, or what happens when trade between countries ebbs and flows, or what conditions are more likely than not to lead to a financial crisis. Of such things, reputations, fortunes, and Nobel Prizes are made. Catch is that sometimes, if a model is glitchy, reputations, fortunes, and Nobel Prizes can be lost, too. Which helps explain why there is a paper out in the journal Science today explaining how economists might build better models and maybe better predict the next financial crisis. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson explains how exactly that might work.
The idea behind this paper is that economists should develop models drawing on something called complexity theory. Allow me to present a very simplified version of what that might mean.
The basic idea in complex systems is that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, and that in particular, it can be dramatically different than the sum of its parts.
Doan Farmer is the director of complexity economics at the Institute for New Economic Thinking at Oxford Martin School. To understand that whole greater than the sum of parts thing, take the example of an ant colony.
An individual ant's a fairly simple organism, but the colony can collectively do very sophisticated behaviors like farming mushrooms and having a war with another colony and things like that. So the economy is, of course, an example of that.
Which, he says, economic models should better reflect. He points to a model he's working on of the housing market in the UK.
We simulate the actions of 5 or 10,000 households.
Households that mirror the age and income demographics of the UK.
And we try and capture the decision-making of each individual household about their savings and consumption, and in particular about how they house themselves.
Even whether they'd qualify for loans. You use the behavior of those individuals to get a sense of the broader housing market. Then, he says, create similar models for the banking industry, also other financial services, and pretty much everything else.
One also needs to be modeling households and firms and the rest of the economy.
When I question the limitations of trying to capture so much, he says weather forecasters can't just look at what's happening over, say, Kansas. They have to look at the whole system. So let's stick with that weather analogy for a minute. David Colander is a professor at Middlebury College. He says weather forecasting has dramatically improved in recent decades, and this idea might push economic modeling down a similar path. But the economy is even more complicated than weather.
In the economy, unlike the weather, sort of what people think is going to happen can change the nature of what happens. That adds sort of a whole new level of interrelationships that in sort of weather forecasting you don't have.
So in other words, you think we should go down this road, but you're still a little bit skeptical that it...
For anybody who says it's going to give us answers, I'm very skeptical about. It's going to give us better questions and sort of slight insights into better answers.
He sees this type of modeling as a natural progression, not a crystal ball. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.